On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Morena, Fabian Fanboy in the studio this morning.
Morena, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's lovely to have you. What are we talking about today?
Well, there's a new Star Wars movie
out.
Yep. Getting quite bad reviews.
I've seen this.
From a lot of people. I haven't seen these bad reviews.
Star Wars, it's sort of like no one has objectivity when it comes to Star Wars anymore.
No. Even people who haven't watched Star Wars have big opinions on Star Wars.
Yeah, it has this weirdly central role in our culture, and so we've all lost perspective. I enjoyed this film.
Mm-hmm.
I went in with very low expectations. I haven't been particularly enamored of the current run of films, as most people who grew up with the originals feel, and they're never going to kind of recapture that magic.
Yeah.
But I had a grand old time.
Oh,
and
good.
And it got me in the gut, and I thought they wrapped things up. And
cool.
There was a lot of talk that they were kind of crapping on the last one, The Last Jedi, which is a divisive film. I don't think they crapped on it. It sort of negates certain things without undermining it.
Yep.
But I thought this was a fun movie.
Cool. That sounds nice, because I did read a lot of people being like, I didn't like this one, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, that's a bit stink if that's how they've sort of ended it. But I'm glad to hear from a reliable source as yourself that it is actually a lot of fun.
So sorry to be a bit of a nump to you, but is this when you say wrapped things up, is this like the final thing?
Yeah, the original trilogy were parts 4, 5, and 6 of a 9-part series.
Yep.
Then we had a prequel trilogy around the millennium that were parts 1, 2, and 3. And Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and this one are parts 7, 8, 9. It's very convoluted.
I mean, that seems perfectly simple to me. No, it's very, very confusing.
So that was the last that was the last one then? Or have we got one more to come?
No, this was number 9. So,
okay, great. Fantastic.
There was talk of this being a 9-film saga in George Lucas's mind, but it's veered away from whatever he conceived of being a long time ago when he sold Lucasfilm. So it's the last one of the core saga.
Mm-hmm.
They will make a lot more Star Wars films, but the Skywalker saga, as it's now being referred to, is now apparently wrapped up. But I'd like to also say, and this might sound silly coming from a professional film critic, but I don't believe in the notion of objective film quality. I really don't.
I
think that it is all subjective. People always say, is that film good or not? I say, well, I'll tell you what I thought about it.
Exactly.
And I don't think that there's an inherent quality to anything. And so, yeah, I liked it.
I think
it's kind of
funny with something like Star Wars, because it's meant to be this like storyline, right? But then in between it, outside of the film world, you have all these real life things that have happened, like Lucasfilms being sold and like other people making it,
and
which kind of
crucial
like
crucial cast members dying as well.
Yes,
it's
which kind of
stuff,
messes
yeah.
with the whole like actual narrative that you want to have if you want to actually feel like you're in that world.
Mm. There's a lot of other factors there. One thing this film did that was kind of surprising to me is it seemed to be speaking to the current political situation to a small degree. There's a thread,
interesting.
There's a thread going through it about how the good guys are actually larger in numbers, but the bad guys make them feel alone. That's mentioned more than once, which
feels
relevant
a bit,
to the modern world.
Definitely. Someone's texted in, they said, I enjoyed Rise of Skywalker, but I think it's very apparent that they did not have the 3 movies planned out before starting production, and that's what's caused problems.
I agree with that point.
Okay.
There has been they didn't sort of sit down and have a meeting about where they were going at some point.
They just winged it.
And yeah,
like,
little,
you know what,
bit.
We're just going to jump in the spaceship and we're going to fly
there's
this
a bit
into
of
the sun.
Course correction involved in this one, which you sort of don't want in a saga.
No,
but yeah, it's
not
a fun film. But yeah, and there's another film in theatres kind of getting a small token release before it hits Netflix next week that I wanted to mention, called The Two Popes.
Oh. This is kind of happening a lot at the moment, isn't it? You get like a tiny short run in theatres and then Netflix will properly distribute
it. Netflix produced this film as they did with other films this year, and they let them play in theatres for the people who want to see them on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And The Two Popes is about the transition between the current Pope and the previous Pope who resigned, which is the first time that's sort of happened in almost 500 years. And it's Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce, who are two of the greatest actors who ever lived. I absolutely loved The Two Popes.
Really?
Films about religion aren't particularly fashionable, but you know, it ran the world for a very long time.
Yeah.
Before money took over.
Is Anthony Hopkins playing one of the popes?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He plays the next to most recent one. And it's just seeing these two actors in a kind of tete-a-tete. speculative conversation between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't sound hugely cinematic, but it is very cinematic. It was written written by Anthony McCartan, who's a New Zealander, whose last three all won the Best Actor Oscar. He wrote The Theory of Everything.
Wow.
Bohemian Rhapsody and the Winston Churchill film Darkest Hour.
He's got the Midas touch.
Yeah. He's highly in demand and he's really good at what he does. And this film is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recommend it enough.
Awesome. I'm really glad to hear that.
Now you were going to do a bit of a best of.
Yeah. I just want to mention some of my favorite films of the year. Parasite, definitely up there.
Really?
The Bong Joon-ho South Korean film. Amazing, amazing film.
I don't know a single person. I mean, I know we're just talking about the objectivity of films not really existing, but I don't know a single person who's been to that and not had their mind blown by it. So
there is a lot of consensus around this one, for sure.
Yeah.
I loved Crawl, which is an alligator film. I loved Ready or Not. I loved The Irishman. That was another Netflix film that kind of got a bit of a token release.
I haven't watched that because it's 3.5 hours long.
It's great. Shoots by.
An intermission?
No, I saw that in a theatre. I think you're just slightly more generous to a film in a theatre.
When
you have the power to press pause, you're not sort of giving as much of yourself over to a movie. I think I might not have enjoyed it so much if I'd watched it at home.
Yeah.
So you don't recommend an intermission? Because that was kind of my plan for watching it. I was going to be like, I need a break.
I was gripped. I didn't look at my watch once, you know? Scorsese is effortless.
All right.
It's a film that builds on what he did with Goodfellas and Casino. It's kind of almost the third part of an unofficial trilogy with those films.
Yeah.
And I thought it was wonderful. But as far as... I also want to mention a film that hasn't actually come out here yet, but I absolutely adore it. It comes out here on the 2nd of January, Little Woman.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait
Rachel's
to go into that. I'm going to have a big cry. I'm going to relive my childhood.
It destroyed me.
Ugh.
I was just a mess at the end of that film. And talk about...
What a cast as well.
Yeah, and talk about modern relevance, you know.
Yeah.
I related to every character, all four of those little women. It was a part of me in every one of them.
Exactly.
But
that's a Greta Gerwig film, isn't it?
Yes.
And she knows how to write a coming-of-age story, or, you know, adapt a coming-of-age story.
Well, I think that's kind of what's so remarkable about that film is it's been adapted so many times, but she makes it very fresh.
Cool.
And she does some interesting things with the structure to kind of help separate it from the other ones. I mean, people still love the 1994 Gillian Armstrong one. With Claire Danes and Winona Ryder.
Great film, that one.
Yeah, and so this, you know, stands alone. It's great. But the film that most enveloped my heart this year, my all-time favourite 2019 film,
it is actually
another Netflix film, which I got to see in the theatre, Dolomite Is My Name.
Oh, I loved this film so much. I've watched it three times already.
You've watched it three times?
I've watched it three times already.
That's awesome.
It's probably my favourite movie of the year as well.
Good. Cause
it's so good.
It's good to hear because I attributed a lot of my love to it for the fact that I grew up adoring Eddie Murphy in 80s movies where he said the F word a lot.
Yeah.
And then my heart broke a little when he moved into his family movie phase.
Like, no!
He hasn't said the F word in a movie in like 20 years and boy does he make up for it.
Great!
In this. He says it about 900 times.
Yeah.
And there's no one swears like him. And did you see this one?
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my long list
good.
Of, you know, when you hit your next,
it
like,
should go right
thing.
To the right to the
right
top.
Right to the top, yeah.
It's just a
yeah.
joyful film. It's the guys who wrote Ed Wood, and I think there's a lot of connections to that film. It's about a guy who just sort of gathers his friends together and says, I can't, they're not letting me make movies, so I'm going to make them myself. And, it's just wonderful. I loved it so much.
I would have
loved
to
great.
See it in the cinema. That's
I know, amazing. I think it's similar to Parasite. I don't know anyone who's watched it who hasn't really enjoyed that. So maybe there is some objectivity we can have.
Maybe there is.
Someone's asked you a question. They've said, did Fabian Fanboy like Marriage Story? Have you watched it yet?
I wanted to acknowledge, I still haven't gotten around to Marriage Story.
Okay.
I love all the talent involved. I want to see that. It's just been a crazy few weeks, so I haven't gotten around to it yet. But
that's
I'm
on
very,
your long list.
Very excited to see it.
Last question. Thoughts on Cats?
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but it looks amazing.
It looks wild. It looks
the
like
reviews,
something.
The reviews of that are very interesting. People are sort of just coming up with new adjectives for horror and stuff.
Weird horror.
Am I allowed to say that I couldn't watch the entire trailer?
Are you definitely allowed to say
I
that?
I couldn't watch the entire trailer.
It's a specific kind of uncomfortable, I think it really brings
it did
out.
Make me feel slightly nauseous.
I also like someone was tweeting, like, what is it when you've got Judi Dench as a cat wearing a cat fur? Has she killed another cat and is wearing it as its fur? Is it a separate animal's fur that she's wearing, or is she wearing her own fur as a coat? I don't understand. I was like, this is all the questions that we need answered about Cats, the musical movie.
Yeah, it speaks to sort of Hollywood's propensity to adapt things people have heard of, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And without stopping to consider whether or not Cats maybe should stay on the stage and be a physical production as opposed to something you watch with crazy weird CGI.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Fabian Fanboy. It's lovely to see you on our last show of the year.
Indeed.
And we'll chat to you again in the new year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Someone just